One morning in 1933, we all came to work and everyone was just standing outside the store. They were letting nobody in. There were a few men in uniform and others who had worked with us, without our really knowing what sort of people they were. There they stood, in boots and spurs. They told us the store had been taken over and that we all had to join the, what did they call it, the NSFO, the National Socialist Factory Cell Organization. It was a sort of union. They had already taken over ground floor rooms as offices. Some people joined up immediately. I had a word with two of my women colleagues. Should we join or not? One of them said we had no choice, so we went into the office and registered. We had to pay a monthly membership fee, but otherwise they didn't bother us. That was 33. After this, if a Jewish colleague visited us at work, we had to be darn careful that we weren't seen speaking to her. There was a Jewish colleague in the storeroom, a really nice woman. It was so hard for us when we could no longer talk to her. Suddenly, we were meant to behave as if we didn't know her. And there was a Jewish sales girl who abruptly disappeared. We had no idea what had happened. People said they'd emigrated. We didn't take much notice of what was going on. It didn't seem so serious. I mean, well, they had emigrated. We didn't really talk about it at all together. Most of our superiors were very Nazi-oriented. When Hitler spoke, they would close the whole department store in the middle of the day. If a speech was due at 2 p.m., the store was cleared at 1:30, and we all made our way to the big light well. We sat there on our various floors. There was a public address system. I personally wasn't in favor of it, nor were most of my colleagues, I know. But we had to, and at least it gave us a chance to rest. There were a large number of regular customers who were extremely sorry that Herr Tietz had had to give up the store, although they couldn't say it aloud. As far as purchasing power was concerned, though, it made little difference. The trust that took over the store, working with them wasn't good. A sales girl had no value in their eyes. Judenverkauf. Sales time for the Jews began at 5 p.m. That is, only Jews were allowed to buy after 5. Before that, they couldn't. Normal selling went on until 5. After that, no new goods were permitted to be put on display. They could only buy what was already out. If a customer asked for something that wasn't there, we had to say, "We don't have that." It was pretty mean. We had the things, but they were under the counter.
September 9th, 1933. We have the honor to inform you that Dr. Hugo Zwillenberg has resigned as personally liable shareholder of our firm. His place has been taken by the Hertie Kaufhaus Beteiligungsgesellschaft MBH with a 60% holding. This company has been founded by our major creditors, who are the shareholders, with the consent of the Reich Department of Trade and Industry. The contractual agreements assure this company a decisive role in the management of our business and thus a predominantly Aryan basis for our firm. Measures for bringing our management into line with the national principles of corporate governance are in preparation. To give outer expression to this fundamental change, the hitherto general partnership of Hermann Tietz will henceforth trade under the name of Hermann Tietz and Company. We beg you to assist the firm Hermann Tietz and Company in their endeavors to keep the company in business and hence to assure work and a livelihood to our approximately 12,500 employees and their families. Hermann Tietz and Company.